Have you ever wondered why environmentalists care so much about saving species? I'm your host, Eliza Ward, and welcome to Pros of Conservation, where we learn why saving endangered species is worth it. I will never forget the first time I saw a whale in the wild. While on a fishing trip in Cape Cod, a massive humpback breached at the surface and slapped its fin on the ocean. Currently, 6 out of 13 great whale species are considered endangered or vulnerable. Since the 1970s, whale populations have been slowly increasing, though scientists believe their current population is still just 10 to 20% of what they were before whaling. However, these increased numbers have allowed researchers to learn some new things about whales that prove they are valuable to not only their ecosystem, but to humans. To learn more about whales, I called up conservation biologist Joe Roman. Joe has been researching whales since he was in college. Since I remember the first time I saw a whale, I asked Joe about his first experience.
So looking for whales among these experts, and I thought I saw something like a glint that was a little bit different on the water. When we got closer, it ended up that right whales often what we would call log at the surface. So they're basically, they look like logs. And the first thing I saw was actually was a log, but then saw this sort of a little mist on the horizon. So it was a blow. And then we got close to the whale. And I can still remember this, that they do something that's called fluking because they're very buoyant, right? So they'll float at the surface, but in order to dive, they have to go vertical and they throw their flukes up. I'm sure you've seen this, you've seen whales. And then they dive. And in that fluke print was an enormous fecal plume. So there was a lot of poop in there. And I didn't know then that was sort of set the course of my career. But I still remember that sort of one of those first days and first times I ever saw whales, also seeing them poop at the surface before they dive.
You heard him correctly. Joe has spent years studying whale poop. Why? Back at college, he had a realization.
I was taking a class at the University of Florida for my master's degree, and they described what's called the biological pump. And the biological pump is, you know, you can only have photosynthesis, phytoplankton, at the surface because they need light, right? So the surface of the ocean. And then when they die or they're fed on, they sink. And that's the biological pump. Those nutrients move from the surface to the bottom. And when I learned about that, I can remember that day, I thought, well, actually, whales are doing the opposite. All right, whales are diving deep. They're feeding, and then they're coming to the surface, and they're defecating, and they're resting, they're breathing, and they're defecating. So it created this idea of this whale pump, that whales were taking these deep sea, deep water nutrients towards the surface, releasing limiting nutrients such as nitrogen or iron to the surface. So they're kind of fertilizing their own gardens, right? And I described this to a colleague of mine, and he said, well, sure, you know, there are probably some nutrients at the surface, but is it ecologically important or is a fart in a hurricane?
After studying whales for a couple years, Joe was able to confirm that the whale pump was real. But who cares about nutrients on top of the ocean? Phytoplankton. More on that later. Joe published his study in 2010. Little did he know, 7 years later, our next guest was reading it. His fascination led him to a groundbreaking discovery. Whales are making money. Economist Ralph Shammy had always dreamed about seeing blue whales, but it wasn't until he told a friend about it that it actually became a reality. The friend put him in contact with a research group studying blue whales.
About a week later, I got a phone call. It says, so you're Ralph, yeah? And you like to see blue whales, study blue whales. I said, yeah. You know how to swim? Yeah. You know how to dive? Yeah. Do you get seasick? No. Do you know anything about whales? No. Okay, you're hired. We have a cancellation.
And just like that, Ralph flew all the way from D.C. to Laredo, Mexico to see the largest living mammal in the world, a blue whale.
You can hear it from a mile away, because when she comes out and she blows the air out, you can smell it and from way, and you can hear it. It's just incredible sound. And then you come closer to her, and you know, you realize this is an intelligent being, just basically inhabits the water. and you feel the presence of you know, it's another presence next to you, and it's wonderful.
Once work was over, Ralph and the crew would get off the 25-foot long boat and stay in living quarters together. Unlike the rest of them, Ralph didn't know a lot about them or even conservation. All he had was his background in physics and economics and his passion for whales.
I overheard them talk about whale carbon. And I knew from physics and chemistry and that we're all carbon units. And so I said, oh, what's the big deal? Or whale experts said, this is of a different kind. The whales sequester carbon in tons.
Throughout a great whale's life, they accumulate carbon. When they die, they sink to the bottom of the ocean and keep the carbon within them. Ralph wanted to know how much carbon, so he did what any economist would do, math.
So I had to construct a table by hand, and I was writing down, this, and I calculated, and then came up with, on average, it's nine tons of carbon on the body of a whale. Now, to go from carbon to carbon dioxide, you have to multiply by 11 over 3. And that's how you get the 33 tons of carbon dioxide.
To put that into perspective, it would take a tree 1,375 years to sequester the same amount of CO2. Ralph wasn't done yet. After the scientists witnessed how passionate he was about whale services, they told him about Joe's proposed whale pump. Remember phytoplankton? This is why it's so important.
Phytoplankton captures about 30% of all carbon dioxide that is emitted. What does that mean? That means phytoplankton captures carbon dioxide equivalent to 4 Amazon forests per year. And so what the whales are doing, they're fertilizing the phyto. So as they fertilize the phyto, there's more phyto, there's more absorption.
If absorbing 30% of all emitted CO2 wasn't enough for you, don't worry, there's more.
See, phytoplankton, what they do, they do photosynthesis. And as if you know anything from your biology, photosynthesis, they absorb carbon dioxide and keep the carbon and release the oxygen. So the carbon becomes sugar in their bodies of the phyto. And the oxygen goes back up. So in a sense, how much oxygen they release? Well, at the minimum, it's 50% of all oxygen we breathe. So we're having this conversation, and this whale expert, she looks at me and she says, I said, 50% of all oxygen. And she said, yes, Ralph, that's every other breath that you take. And I said, I can probably value all these things. So she kind of snapped around, looked at me. She said, so how much do you value your next breath?
Ralph stayed up in his cabin all night and did the math. So how much is a whale really worth?
When you look at these three things, the value of the services of a single whale is at minimum $2 million. How much are you paying him out of that $2
million? We pay nothing to whales. Yet somehow, what they do is equivalent to $2 million in services. When Ralph put this number on whales, it was not to give them a price tag, but rather to make them more accessible. Though people like Joe and Ralph can see the value of a whale past a number, equating services helps to raise money to protect the whales. With just a small investment into the protection of whales, you can help to secure your next breath. With that, I would like to say thank you for listening to this episode of Pros of Conservation. Thank you to our guests, Joe and Ralph, for helping with this week's episode. Please check out the description box for a link to the show's website, where you will find this episode's show notes, transcript, and more information on our guests. Additionally, thank you to Purple Planet and Freesound for supplying music and effects. Stay green.